It's time for another episode of Yaka Purtle Trade Watch.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get podcasts. So what are we going to chat about today? It's Yaka Purtle Watch. More and more rumors and reports and speculations are popping up whether or not he's going to remain a Spur by the end of the NBA trade deadline. We're going to catch you up on the latest Yaka trade rumors. What's going on? What is a reported price tag the Spurs have for the big man in the middle, and much more? Also, we're going to quickly look and grade Romeo Langford at this point of his stay with the Spurs. How's he looking? Has he been looking good or looking bad for the Spurs? And much, much more. I am joined by Rudy Campos, the man, the myth, the legend. He is from Sweep the League. And the one man that I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, Rudy, you actually invented the game show Wheel of Fortune. Is that true?
That is so very true. Wheel of Fortune was invented by me. It's on a napkin that I had when I was at Jim's Coffee Shop in San Antonio as a kid. So yes, it is. Wow. It was invented by me.
And you to become the host? You let Pat Sajak handle that?
Yeah, Pat came begging to me for work, and I decided to give up the hosting duty so he can do it. And I think it's worked out for him and Vanna very well.
Every time you come on the show, we find out more stuff about you. Apparently, you the only man to defeat Thanos, invented the periodic table, invented calendars, invented Wheel of Fortune. How do you do it, Rudy Campos?
Well, like King the Conqueror, there are many variants of me, very smart, very not so smart, but I live around entire multiverses.
All right. Well, let's bring you back to our multiverse. Because there, in this multiverse, there was a lot of speculation going on regarding Yaka Purtle. Now, I know we talked about this before on Locked On Spurs, but things are kind of progressing forward as far as reports and speculation. Now, Rudy, let's catch everybody up. Yaka Purtle is considered to be perhaps the best Spurs asset to deal. He's on an expiring contract. He's an unrestricted free agent after the summer. His current contract is team-friendly. And it looks like he could be a valuable piece to a team that's either like on the cusp of making the playoffs or are in the playoffs, sure, and just need that boost forward, hopefully win a title. Rudy, let's start off with the latest report, and this was via The Athletic, that apparently Boston and Toronto, the team he was drafted by, want him. So you're starting to see more teams named now, as you said, during the via The Athletic right now. Rudy, is this just telling you that all signs are pointing to he's gone? Like, it's a done deal. Or do you still think maybe he'll stay with the Spurs?
I think the whole key to the whole thing is the asking price. Now, San Antonio Spurs are asking for 2 first-round picks. Now, whether they are protected or unprotected, I have no idea. But that is a very steep asking price for one of the better centers in the league. Might be a missing key piece to a championship title run, especially for a team like Boston. It's a very high asking price, but the thing that we've got to remember too is you got kind of the same deal for Derek White, and as we can kind of go comparison wise, Yaka Purtle to a team probably means a lot more than Derek White does when it comes to championship aspirations. So in all certainty, it's not a huge asking price. It just seems like a lot. But Boston is the favorites. They need a big man. Robert Williams can't stay healthy for the most part. Grant Williams is way undersized. In the East, you've got to battle guys like Embiid, and you've also got Cleveland coming up, especially with the Mobley, Jared Allen. You need a big guy to help for the championship run. So Boston, I think, is the one team, but they don't have a first-round pick as of right now this year. Indiana has it. So you're looking at a possible 2024, maybe 2025 or 26 first-round picks. I think Boston's probably going to be that team that comes out on top for Jakob being in the Celtics uniform.
They're probably becoming Spurs East, aren't they? Well, they were for a minute. They were with Ime Udoka until that happened. But, you know, there was is the Utah coach. Will Hardy, he was there for a while, and then Derek White's over there, and can you imagine Pirtle? So, yeah. But no, it's interesting, though, because let's dive into the asking price now. That is a lot. A lot. I don't think he is worth two first round picks. If I'm a team looking to add him, I'm like, yikes, that's a high sticker price. But the Spurs can't afford to be upping the prices, because if these reports are true, Jakob could push a team over the edge, like a Boston, as you mentioned. We'll use that for example. Do you think the Spurs asking price is too high right now?
No, and right now they can ask for whatever they want. You got to remember that the other key too with the San Antonio Spurs going into the offseason is they're going to have upwards of like $70 million in cap space. So Jakob's going to command about $20 million a year, and that's like on the very high end. Giving him $20 million a year, knowing you're going to have about $50 million still in cap space, is actually not a bad deal. So they can ask for whatever they want. Now, whether they get it or not, it's totally up to them. Boston, let's take Toronto, for example. Toronto is right there. They're not in the playoffs and not really in the play-in game right now. They're kind of on the cusp. So for them, giving up two first-round picks is a lot. But for a team like Boston, who is a perennial contender every single season with Tatum and Brown, giving up, you know, two first-round picks is not a big deal, knowing they're going to probably be in the late 20s when it comes to drafting. Mm-hmm. So it just depends where he goes and what team is wanting him desperately. Like I said, I think Boston is that team. There may be a second team coming up somewhere that we don't know about. But mm-hmm. the asking price right now, it's whatever the Spurs want. And I'm pretty sure they're going to get it, too, if the deal is made.
Yeah, look, Pirtle is, and we think, and I'm pretty sure, you know, is very coveted. He's going to be very coveted ahead of the trade deadline. You know, the numbers are there. He's still a good defender. You know, I think he's holding teams, well, opponents shooting at the rim to about 63% shooting. You're looking at double-double almost nightly. He runs the pick and roll well. I do you think the situation with the Spurs cannot bite at the first apple? Like, take a bite of the first apple. So, for example, let's just say Boston makes an offer. Do you wait to see what Toronto says? Do you wait to see with, I'm making this up now, what Milwaukee says, wants to offer? Because I think the Spurs can really play hardball here, can't they?
Absolutely. There's no reason to jump at the first offer at the table if Boston comes and says, hey, we've got two first round picks and maybe a Grant Williams that we can send your way. I mean, great deal. Yeah, I would probably say go for it. But you need to see what else has other teams have to offer. This is the trade deadline where it comes on February 9th. So you need to be there February 8th around, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, listening mm-hmm. to all offers. One team that I think could possibly pop in there is the Miami Heat. Miami could use another big man. They could definitely use the help down low. Jakob definitely helps them on the defensive end. So that could be another secret team that comes in at the last minute, tries to snipe a Boston or possibly a Toronto. You did mention Milwaukee. Milwaukee definitely mm-hmm. could use a big man like Jakob Pirtle. So the Spurs are going to get tons of offers from Eastern Conference teams. We're probably not going to see a whole lot of Western Conference teams for Jakob. The only one that comes to mind firsthand is the Los Angeles Lakers, but they don't have very many picks to deal anyway.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to jump at the first offer. Definitely see what everybody has and take the best offer available if it does happen.
We're talking with Rudy Campos right here on Lockdown Spurs. He is with Sweep the League, and we're catching up on Jakob Pirtle Trade Watch. What are the rumors right now regarding the big man in the middle? And will he stay a Spur for the rest of the season or get traded in, can you believe, in a few weeks? Like, in a few weeks, Jakob Pirtle could not be in a uniform anymore. That's weird. That is so bizarre. But anyway, we get back. We're going to continue talking about Pirtle. What do the Spurs have by way of assets? What could they do with Pirtle and much, much more? And also, we're going to be looking at Romeo Langford, how he's been playing for the Spurs this season. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, don't want to, all that fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know one of your goals could probably be eating a little healthier this year. But if you want to shed some pounds, you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise taste, then you got to try these Built Bars. Healthy is actually tasty with Built. Seriously, they got they're so delicious, you wouldn't even know they're good for you. So perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. They come in great flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, but they do it. They taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, whopping 17 grams of protein. Now, you don't have to wait around to get a box. For years, Built has been talking about ordering Built bars from Built.com. Now, you can get them at your local Walmart and Sam's Club now. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Go to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built bars. There's a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're near a Sam's Club, grab yourself a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie, batter, and churro. You can thank me later. We're back with Rudy Campos right here on Locked On Spurs, going over the latest on Jakob Poeltl Trade Watch. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Rudy, we said before the break that you could be possibly watching the final games of Poeltl in a Spurs uniform, but that still doesn't, but that could be a reality. Speaking of the multiverse, Rudy, that could be a reality that doesn't come true. He could still finish out his contract with San Antonio and talk business with the Spurs after the season's over, can he?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not a guarantee that Jakob's going to be moved. I mean, again, the asking price is 2 first-round picks. I mean, if you're giving them 2 first-round picks in 27 and 28, you know, 2027, 2028, it may not make any sense at all. Why are you going to wait that long? You want some picks early. So it may be something that we don't see happen at all. But you're right. He's an unrestricted free agent. He turned down the Spurs extension before this season. He wanted to head into unrestricted free agency. So he can definitely talk to the Spurs. The Spurs can offer him the most money out of any team. The Spurs are going to have the cap space to be able to offer him. And like mentioned on the past episode of Lockdown Spurs with you, it was the fact that the draft happens before free agency. So they'll be able to know if they're in the Wemby sweepstakes. They'll be able to know if they're able to get a big man through the draft. Needless to say, that favors the Spurs big time, because then if you don't get who you want, you have Jakob Poeltl there. You can give him, you know, if it's the $20 million a year that he might be commanding, you can definitely give him that. Still have a lot of room, but let's not forget, if you sign him to that contract, he still comes more covetable because now he's under a contract. You can trade him with that contract. Teams are going to be probably still wanting him because now he's guaranteed to be with them longer than just say, hey, a few months.
You know, this is another, you know, speaking of multiverse reality that could happen. The Spurs can retain Poeltl in free agency and have the basketball gods smile at them and draft Wemby, because the Spurs have that kind of money, don't they?
Oh, yeah, man, they do. They can retain him, get Wemby in the first round pick. Then you have similar to a Twin Tower type aspect, but with Wemby's ability to spread the floor, that's that stretch big man that you and I have talked about for years on the show.
I'm just salivating at that thought. Can you imagine Poeltl and Wemby together? That
would be a defensive juggernaut, that's for sure.
Yeah, nobody's scoring. Nobody is scoring. Here's what gets me with this whole Poeltl thing is I get it. I get why the Spurs, you know, would entertain moving him, because if we're going to use Boston, if Boston gives them an offer they can't refuse, you have to do it. And this team has been showing, now this front office now, have been showing they are willing to make moves. How long do we think, oh, Spurs will never trade DeJounte? He's their only all-star, you know, look at him. He's the future. And next thing you know, traded. Derek White, no way. Remember the years ago? He's the better Spur. He's even better than Murray. He does more. Traded. Mm. They're signaling they're willing to trade big pieces that many feel that should be with the team long-term. Now, speaking of long-term, I mean, just look, this is just a laundry list of what the Spurs own. They have their own first in the next 7 years. So that's just their own. First round picks. Okay. They're still owed a first round pick from the Hornets. Okay. They still got a couple of unprotected first round picks from Atlanta. Now, granted, that's 2025 and what is it, 2027? But still, you know, the future is being set up for them. They have that right to first swap or swap first with Boston in 2028. Okay. And they have many second round picks. They have 13 second round picks they can use. Mm-hmm. So they can really become a juggernaut in the future. Knowing all that, Rudy, and knowing what the report is about the team asking price for two first rounds and that how he is Pirtle, that is a coveted piece. Do you still trade away a known commodity for something that's speculative when it comes to the draft and what could be? You got something now versus what could be.
If I'm looking at my whiteboard, if I'm the GM of the San Antonio Spurs and I'm looking at my whiteboard, I'm circling 2025. I'm seeing exactly what's happening in Atlanta right now. Trae Young, a part of the Atlanta Hawks for the near future, probably is not going to happen. I don't think Trey's going to be there for long term. Same thing with John Collins. So that leaves like DeJounte Murray only as the only Atlanta Hawk. Lottery bound. It's unprotected. That 2025 is unprotected. So you could potentially have two lottery picks in 2025. I'm keeping Jakob Poeltl. I'm doing everything I can to keep him and to sign him for the long term. Knowing how consistent he has been for the San Antonio Spurs and knowing how he's been able to improve year after year, that's a guarantee to me. It's not a guarantee to me that I'm going to draft Wembanyama and keep him for the long term. I still don't know. I think he's going to command a massive salary once his rookie deal is done, but I think he's also going to command the attention that he feels he deserves in the New York and in Los Angeles, stuff like that. So it's hard for me to say, you know, Victor could be this loyal person and be a Giannis or Jokic and stay where he's put, wants to win in San Antonio, and that would be perfect for him and Jakob. But I've got to also look for the long term of the future of the team, and Jakob is one of those pieces that you really have to keep.
Yeah, this is tough. I think at this point in the Spurs rebuild, I say you deal him. I say you deal him because there's too much speculation. You know, you're right. You know, nobody knows for sure the Spurs get the number one pick. You don't. You know, this is still a chance they could fall to five. That could happen. Mm-hmm. But you're set up to minimize risk with the amount of draft capital they have, the amount of young players they have. They could still flip. I don't think anybody would be surprised if Trey Jones gets flipped. Anybody would be surprised if Keldon Johnson gets flipped. I don't think I wouldn't. Maybe you, Rudy, would, but I don't think I would. If you're going to flip Keldon for known assets, it's just say, my God, the Spurs are just that veteran away, that solid all-star, multi-all-star player away. But the asking price is like an established young player, and it's Keldon. You know, but they got Wimby. You know, there's just so many moving parts here. I know I wouldn't be too surprised if that were to happen. But it is interesting, you know, that this Spurs team could look radically different in just a few weeks, Rudy.
Yeah, it could very well look very different. And, you know, the thing, too, to remember is I know the cap space is one thing. If I said Jakob got $20 million, if you move Doug McDermott, you're moving $17.3 million. So that essentially is his contract right there. So you don't feel it. But I really think you're going to see guys like Jakob, I think, is the main commodity. I would seriously, if I really had to pick it right now, I think he's going to be moved by the trade deadline. McDermott's going to probably be moved by the trade deadline. You're going to see a really, really big time change to the Spurs roster. You're going to see guys like Isaiah Roby get playing time if they're moved. Not only that, Blake Wesley is now playing, so you have to kind of give him some minutes somewhere. So you're going to probably see, I think, two to three guys possibly being moved at the trade deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it is what it is. You know, that's what the Spurs are right now in their franchise rebuild. They know they got to get through the draft to rebuild. We know historically big name free agents don't come to San Antonio. So they have to do it the way they've shown before in the past via the draft. Now, of course, different situation. They had two number one picks, Robinson and Duncan. So that helps tremendously. So hopefully that'll repeat itself this offseason at the NBA draft. But yeah, this Spurs team can look a lot different in just a few short weeks with the NBA trade deadline coming. I'm still buying that Jakob is gone. I agree with you. I think he likely is going to be moved. But we know what the target is for the Spurs. It doesn't take a genius. They got Derek White. What was it? You know, Romeo Langford, sure. We'll talk about him in just a bit. The main thing was picks and recently money. We saw that move earlier this season. It was a move for money. Remember, everybody was laughing at that with Boston. Oh, they traded for cash. So we know where they want. They want money and they want draft capital. So I think that's where you're going to see the Spurs team going ahead of the draft. I mean, the NBA trade deadline is they want money and they want picks. Rudy is always down for getting cash, aren't you, though?
Oh, 100%. That's why I invented Wheel of Fortune and everything else.
All right, when we get back, we're going to shift gears and we're going to look at Romeo Langford. We haven't had a chance to really put him in the spotlight. You know, how's he been? You know, how's he looking? You know, is he fitting in? Do you see him a long-term asset? We're going to talk about him in just a few seconds. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football, you got basketball, soccer. Look, they got it all over at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you're going to find those as well over at BetOnline. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. For example, I go there to look at NBA prop futures. I look over there to see, you know, the upcoming games, Spurs, Clippers, who's favorite in that. And yeah, it's a good place to get a lot of good information. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. We're back right here on Lockdown Spurs with Rudy Campos. He's with Sweep the League and the inventor of Wheel of Fortune. I think society owes you a debt of gratitude for everything you've done. I mean, I think the biggest one is when you defeated Thanos. That saved the universe. Kudos.
Yeah, I did. And now I've got another threat coming here in Kang. So we'll see how I do against this one. But Thanos was tough. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. It took me all but five more minutes than I expected.
Are you really worried about this other contender I hear? His name is Dr. Doom. Is that one really, really making you sweat a bit?
I am perspiring beyond imaginable with Dr. Doom. So when I have to deal with that threat, I can guarantee that it's probably not going to go very well for me.
You might have to take all 12 rounds, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be like the old boxing days where it's like 17, 18, 19 rounds.
Like in the Rocky movies, where were they, 20 rounds each?
Yeah, like 20 rounds.
20 rounds. Remember in Rocky IV, they get those the round count going, and it was like up to 17 at one point. It's like, what?
Going it was like this? The same fight sequence, too.
Yeah, exactly. Over and over again. All right. You know, we're talking about trades and deals that those Spurs have made. One of them recently was, well, not recently, but, you know, was returned that Derek White deal last season, and they netted Romeo Langford. Now, you know, he's been getting playing time this year, but let's look at what he's done so far. So let's look at some numbers. 19 minutes per game, which is not too bad. He's averaging about 7 points per game, 2.7 rebounds, 1.2 assists, a little less than a steal, 0.5, and shooting about 47%. Now, Rudy, what are your thoughts so far with Langford? You like him? Don't you like him? You know, flippable asset. I mean, where do you fall on him?
You know, with me, with Romeo Langford, a really highly touted guy coming into the 2019 draft, really in college as well, coming out of high school. But I mean, he's kind of just a player. I mean, there's really nothing too exciting. His highest point total this year was 23 points against the New York Knicks. Before that was 19 points against Miami. But what I look at too is very, very inconsistent. I mean, he had a hot streak where he had 15, 14, and 13 points in back-to-back-to-back games. Outside of that, it's just kind of a guy out there kind of just taking up space, you know, another body on the court. Doesn't do everything right per se, but, you know, doesn't do things really wrong at times. So it's kind of like, it's not a disrespectful type thing. It's just kind of like a player out there that is just there to, I guess, spell minutes for certain people, be a sub. But the reason why I say the inconsistency, he had 23 points against the Knicks, came back with a big donut hole the very next game against Dallas. 19 points, you figure, hey, he's doing really good against Miami, comes back with 3 points against Cleveland. So it's the consistency part. I don't expect him to get 15 a night, but just getting out there, getting some points, getting a little bit more hustle, getting a little bit more aggressive would be really good. But we're not going to really see much more from Romeo.
Defensively, that's where I like him. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I think he does a damn good job. And playing passing lanes, playing the perimeter. I like that about him. And we forget he was a lottery pick. Wasn't he 14 overall by Boston, I believe?
Yeah,
14 overall. Yeah. So, I mean, really, really good to see, you know, him finally coming around, because, you know, his start to his pro career was just beset with injuries just left and right, just couldn't get on that court for Boston. Gets traded to San Antonio, and he's slowly becoming the player that many thought he would be. Now, I still think you can use him as a trade asset, either this season, the offseason, or ahead of the trade deadline. I don't think, you know, you could definitely move him. You could get production like he's giving you right now with maybe somebody else or better. So I don't think Spurs fans should invest in a Romeo Langford jersey. I don't think anybody should. But again, I the 3-point shooting is still suspect. You know, was he about 26-27% from the three line? For his athleticism, he only gets to the free throw line about once a game. And that's not good. I mean, I would understand if he was getting less than 10 minutes a game, but he's getting close to 20 minutes per game through 30 games played already. He even started 17 games. So need to see that go up a little bit more. But are you with me? You know, you could definitely see him be packaged in a deal or perhaps not re-signed in the future.
Oh, 100%. I think he needs to be part of a deal to make it a little bit sweeter. Possibly a Jakob or a Doug McDermott deal. It's going to be involved. I don't expect him to be with the Spurs long-term. In fact, I was really hoping that we would see a guy like Malachi Branham get the starting nod over Romeo when Romeo does start. But I get the veteran standpoint and stuff. I get, you know, not bringing up the rookies too much. But yeah, I don't see Romeo being a part of the Spurs future anytime soon. I mean, yeah, you're right. Defensively, he's a really good defensive player. But it doesn't really help if you're limited on scoring on the other side. So you kind of need more two-way players with the Spurs right now.
I like Romeo. You know, when he got traded to San Antonio, a lot of Boston media friends that I know are saying, you know, hopefully he turns out well. You know, they saw the flashes. You know, he was stuck in the G League for quite some time with the with the Boston affiliate. So, but he you know, he's not bad. You know, you just look at his game log. You know, he's still contributing ish, you know, okay. You know, we got 17 minutes versus Brooklyn, scored 2 points again, that 3 shot 0-for-2. Now, then again, everybody was shooting horribly against Brooklyn the other night. So yay. But, you know, he had a string of 3 games in a row with double figure scoring. That was from January 6th through the 9th. You mentioned the 23 points versus the Knicks, but yeah, the inconsistency, he goes from 23 points versus the Knicks. Then it goes to 0 versus Dallas. Then goes to 8 versus Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, that was the night of the slaughter. And then a New York again, 7 points. And then he had that string of double figure scoring. And then he dips back down to 3. Now we know not everything is on the offense. It is, you know, a complete game. So yeah, he does. It's like he's just going to be a good bench player. I think that's what it's going to come down to, Rudy, in his career. Your thought?
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, he's going to be just another player that comes in, spells some guys' minutes, gives them some rest. Still going to give you some production, whether it be on the defensive side or maybe an offensive game for a little bit. But it's just another guy. I mean, he's just a guy that's going to come in, dispel a couple of minutes. He's not a long-term thing. He's not anybody that's going to be, you know, hey, we need you to be a scorer, anything like that. Injuries have dethroned his has derailed him a little bit there, like you said, in Boston. But again, kind of what you're seeing out of Romeo is what you're going to get for the most part.
What grade would you give him so far? We're now past the midway point of the season.
I'm stuck at a D. I don't think he goes any higher than that. He's not going to definitely get an F. Give him a D. Like I said, there are moments where he does come out, he does ball, he does get some points, although he does play really good defense. So because I'm giving him a D, mainly it's for the defensive side.
Ah, I see what you did there. Good job. See what you did there. I'm gonna be a little less harsh. I'm gonna give him a C-, because of the defensive stuff that I see. You know, he does give you rebounds, he does pick up a steal. I know it's not all offense, you know, you need to play defense to win games. So I give him credit for that. That's why I bump him up a bit. But hey, you know. He could be gone too at the trade deadline. They could package him in a deal if they need to make the numbers work. I mean, he could be it. But we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the latest in the Jakob Poeltl trade watch? Likes, dislikes? Do you think the Spurs are asking too much and he won't get moved and the Spurs are left empty-handed if Jakob decides to just call it a day and go somewhere else? And what do you think about Romeo Langford and his play for the Spurs this season? But now Rudy's going to tell you all about Sweep the League. Take it away.
Yeah, we come to you every single Sunday, Monday, and Wednesdays. We'll drop an episode at least once a week on one of those days. We're just talking NFL football. Your Cowboys came through and beat Tom Brady. Will they beat the Niners? We'll find out this weekend. But a lot of NFL talk, NBA talk as well. And normally I drop the 50th anniversary players. I got one or two right now. I need Jeff's opinion real quick on these.
Okay.
How important was Mario Elie in that first title run?
Huge. I like that he brought the meanness to the team, and they needed that. You know, he got in the players' faces and his own teammates' faces, and I think the Spurs definitely needed that. But you know, definitely, you know, one of the best Spurs ever on a championship team. But you know I don't want to step right in your parade, but I just want to throw this out there. The other night versus Brooklyn and AT&T, Kevin Willis was in the house.
Kevin Willis,
and he's still, and at his age, he's still jacked.
Are you serious? I haven't seen him lately.
Yeah, he is still just jacked. Well, he always was jacked, wasn't he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I remember he was like the only player that had the elbow pads still, because he knew he was going to throw some bowls, man. speaking of Jack, man, before we go, one last guy. How big of a fan were you with Vernon Mad Max Maxwell? I was a huge fan of his.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about just meanness and nastiness. That guy was on a different level. I mean, talked smack, talked trash, you know, haunted the Spurs after he went to Houston. And
big shot.
Yeah. You know who I thought you were going to say right now when we were talking about Jack? And, you know, yeah, I thought you were going to bring up Jack Haley.
Oh, my God. Jack Haley. Yeah. I was going to bring him up previous episode. But yeah. Jack Haley.
You got any more for us?
I don't really have another one right now. I can honestly say that one guy that I was thinking about recently, because I talked to Derek Irvin, who's been on the show as well, was Artis Gilmore, the A-Train.
A-Train.
We were talking about him and his dominance. So, yeah, former Spur Artis Gilmore.
Well, he came to San Antonio, like, past his prime, right? Was he already past his prime? Because I remember they brought him in specifically to contend with Kareem. That was the whole point of the deal. Kareem was just a nightmare. By the way, everybody, you know, for you kids out there, the Spurs-Lakers rivalry back in 2000 was fun, but the Spurs-Lakers rivalry goes back to the early days of the NBA, for Spurs NBA, like San Antonio NBA days, because they would always beat the Lakers in the playoffs, remember?
Yep, it was 70s and was it early 80s? 70s and
80s? Yep, late 70s, early 80s. They would always meet the Lakers, and they would, and that was Showtime Lakers in the playoffs. And they and the Spurs, they would lose, but they would give Boston. They would give Lakers some run in those playoff series. Back when, remember, and it was the best of five to start the playoffs. Remember those days?
Oh, those were the good old days, man. I can't stand the best of seven.
I miss the best of five because that was pressure games. I mean, you had to. Yeah. I mean, that brought out the best in everybody in those days. But now, it's all about that cash, Rudy. Stretch out these series and make more money. But exactly. Wheel of Fortune guy here. So we're done talking. And for your second listen, make sure to check out Locked On Game to Game. It is capturing every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. And same thing for Locked On Spurs, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, Ken's 5 Plus app, and much, much more. So for Rudy Wheel of Fortune Campos, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.